Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is developing a case like a good attorney, if you will. He's putting together a legal brief here to verify that no one is made right with God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Status of any other kind doesn't count. We're going to start reading at verse 9, and the part of this case he's making now is that the Jews had no special status in regards to their standing before God. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one. He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. May God bless this, the reading of His word to us.
I can literally hear my heart is pumping. So if you see me falling down, please pray for me. Since 1991, I started working as a pastor in 1991, so it's over 20 years, and still standing in front of God's people, and preaching the gospel is one of the hardest thing that I can do. So please pray for me. But I know God called me as His minister to proclaim the word. About 2 years ago, Somali pirates hijacked a South Korean operated fishing boat. It's happened 2 years ago. I think it happened in the United States too, about 2 years ago. The Korean government dispatched a team of special forces to rescue them. to rescue the Korean fishermen and who were held hostage by Somali pirates. Now, while I was reading many articles about that incident, I happened to see and read a very interesting story about the special forces. While the Korean soldiers' special forces were slowly approaching the fishing boat, one of the pirates took aim at the Korean soldiers with his RPG. It's a really big, giant rocket, portable rocket thingy. Now, the problem was that none of the Korean soldiers knew that it's coming, it's happening about the RPG. But Korean snipers from far away, from the Korean destroyer, far away, they saw the guy who was holding the RPG. Now, all the people's lives were at stake. Looks like there was no time to call them, come back, or retreat. No time to wait. The sniper had to make a perfect clean shot to save his fellow soldiers and the fishermen. No time to fail. No time to miss the target. Maybe it's not a big deal for us, you and me, missing the target. When we go to a shooting range and hunting, we just do it, whatever. It doesn't matter. One time I went to a shooting range with Pastor Perry. I was surprised that he always got the target. I was always missing. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. However, we all know that it is a great deal for snipers to miss the target. By missing the target, a sniper can jeopardize his mission, or he can put his fellow soldiers or his country into great danger. So all the snipers should have great marksmanship skills. Literally, we can say they cannot miss the target at all, period. Now, while I was listening to Pastor Perry's Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments message, and we were studying on the Ten Commandments in our Korean Bible study meeting over the months, a single word kept ringing to my ear, in my heart. That word is S-I-N, sin. Then what is sin? Now, the biblical meaning of sin is just missing the target, like that. Just somewhere around, but not to the target. Or taking a wrong direction. We have to go this way. We just don't want to go there, just taking another direction. As snipers are expected to possess great marksmanship skill. Now, it is true. God expects you and me and us to have our spiritual marksmanship skill as well. God gives you and me the right directions to go. Let's go this way. This is my way. You have to listen to me. And God gives you and me the Ten Commandments to follow, to keep us on the right track. Therefore, everything is clear for us. It's so clear, looking into the crystal clear, looking into the window, and then everything is there. We cannot miss the target. However, unfortunately, we oftentimes find ourselves heading toward in the wrong direction all the time. We can say, yes, we miss the target all the time. Through our thought, desire, emotion, word, and deed, we displease God, and we deserve blame and punishment. Yes, we have sinned against God. That's our status. During my study, I came across an interesting description about sin. I was reading a book written by Dr. Cornelius Plantinga, which he was a professor at Calvin. I think he's still teaching there. He was the president of the Calvin Theological Seminary, and he says two things. Here you go. I'm not used to this. He said, sin is disruption of creating a harmony and the resistance to divine restoration of that harmony. That's a sin. And he said, above all, sin disrupts and resists the vital human relation to God. Relation to God. And one more time he says, it's very interesting, God hates sin, right? We know that. Not just because it violates his law and teachings from the Bible, but he says because it violates shalom. We have to look at this word shalom today. Shalom is peace. Because it breaks the peace God wants to give you, God installed your life, sin just breaks it and just steals it. Because it interferes with the way things are supposed to be. God wants to go, God wants you to go this way, supposed to be like this way, but sin said, no, another way, let's go this way. Interferes the way things are supposed to be. Shalom and peace is the way things are supposed to be, your life and my life. Shalom means a universal flourishing and everything is good, wholeness and delight in God. We are created to enjoy God's shalom every day in our lives. Enjoy His creation. Enjoy His mighty power, His blessing. But however, because of our sin, shalom has been hijacked. And because of our sin, our relationship with God has been broken and distorted and hijacked. Sin interferes the way that God wants things to be. Where sin exists, there is no peace, no shalom at all. We know it. That's how our text comes to us. It says, Romans chapter 3, verse 17, the way of peace they have not known. Sin is not your problem, not my problem, but every human being's problem. Believe it or not, we are all struggling with our sins every day. Secret sins or many sins that we already know. And we know that sin is everywhere. Everywhere you go, you'll find something's wrong. One more time, Dr. Plantinga says, he said, this is really interesting, he said, sin is a beast crouching at the door. It's waiting for you. All right, James Kim is coming. Okay, this is time to attack. Come on, come on. It's waiting for you. From the beginning of the world, the sin never stops attacking you and me to destroy your relationship with God, to hijack God's peace in you, to hijack God's shalom in your life. Just steal it. So we say we are all under attack. We are all under sin. In our text, verses 9 and 10, clearly describe that everyone is under sin. No one is free from sin. No one. None is righteous. Not even one. Verse 10. It's very interesting. All the Bible says and describes that we are all under sin. Really, really like that. And it seems that the word sin, S-I-N, has become a very unpopular word in our culture. Literally, no one wants to hear that they are sinners before God. No, I don't like that idea. But it seems that everyone loves to hear that God will bless you. God will take care of you. God will be with you. God will make you rich and prosperous with wealth and values. We enjoy that message. And the people love to hear that positive thinking messages from churches. There are churches and pulpits. Sadly, preachers become life improvement speakers. Rather than the prophets of God, we should say, thus says the Lord. Then today's text brings my attention, your attention to the Word of God. But our text clearly speaks to you and me that no one is righteous. Not even one. Not even a single person in the world. Why? Because of the sin. That's why Augustine says in his book, The City of God, it's old classic book, Christian book, it says, sin despoils persons and groups and whole societies. It literally just destroys everything. What we have, not only some people, but everyone in this world. Sin brings the world of corruption into our lives. It spoils every corner of your life. Sin works just like a disease. It brings spiritual sickness into our lives, and it passes them around here and there. Our body and spirit are badly polluted by sin, so that we are not able to stand before God, who is righteous. We become completely unrighteous before God, and therefore we certainly deserve God's anger, His judgment, His wrath. One more time, Dr. Plantinga says, sin makes us guilty, while disease makes us miserable. The same thing with the Apostle Paul. He said one time in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, one of the famous verses in the Bible, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." It's already here from heaven. "Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man," that means for our sin, "who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Sin makes you and me deaf and blind, especially Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 18 says, "so that we cannot hear and understand the word of God." The Paul says the same thing in our text, verse 11. No one understands. No one seeks for God, verse 11. Don't you think it's horrible? When you read the Bible in a particular text here and there, you will never understand. Isn't that so sad when the Word of God in our hands, but we will not be able to understand? People are in the world, they are not seeking God. I think that is one of the most horrible things that I can see. God continually speaks to us, even this morning through His scriptures, but we are unable to understand Him because of our sin. Sin blocks us. Sin never stops deceiving you and me. Sin preoccupies our hearts and minds and lives and tells us, hey, forget it. You don't need God. You're fine. We have to remember that Paul is talking about the chain reaction of sin here, verses 10 through 12. It happening again and again. First one is none. No one is righteous. That's a sin starting there. And then no one understands. Oh, we don't understand what you're talking about. The second, third, no one seeks for God. Oh, I don't understand, so I don't have to find Him. The last one is no one does good, not even one. A sin causes you bringing another sin. A sin causes another sin's coming to our lives. That's why Augustine says, sin is the punishment of sin. Sin is coming back. But the interesting thing is, sin always comes with a small thing. Once it settles down in our hearts, it brings another sin after sin. It works just like putting a small wedge, little tiny wedge, into a crack. Now, by looking at the tip of the wedge, it looks just fine. This is a small thing. But we have to realize that the other side of the wedge is much bigger and wider. So Satan finds a small crack in your life. Okay, let's put these things in. It creeps into our lives with a small thing, then it brings something more bigger, wider, more sins to crack your heart, to lose your mind, to lose your faith. Paul says, Romans 5, verse 12, same thing. Sin came to the world through one man, which is Adam, and through sin, death came. And so death spread to all the men. Sin is devastating. Have you ever been in a courtroom? Maybe not. Standing before a judge. Most people know how to behave when they are standing in the presence of a judge. All right? Most children would know that they have to behave in the presence of their teachers or their principals, some kind of authority figure. I think that the same is true for all the Christians if we truly know or feel the presence of God right now or in our life. There is no excuse. But we must behave. We must bring Him praise, honor, and glory. Praise, honor, and glory to God who is with us all the time. But the thing is, the most horrifying fact of sin is not just doing bad things, saying bad words, and becoming bad people, I don't care. Not that. But it separates you and me from the presence of God. The absence of God in our life. In verse 18, Paul says this, there is no fear God before their eyes. The Bible clearly says and teaches us that fearing God is the very first step of knowing God. Proverbs 1 and 7. Knowing God, God is with us right now. Knowing that God is with us right now is the in this place that brings us an incredible sense of awe and wonder. Wow, God is with me? God is right now with us? None of the words can express enough the greatness of God, the presence of God with us today, this morning. But sin robs all these great things from us. Nothing remains but the absence of God, just empty chair. Nothing remains but not fearing God. I don't care. Nothing remains but only sinners. Sin makes everything worthless. Verse 12 today, Paul says, all have turned aside from God, basically. Together, they have become worthless. I don't care. Verses 13 and 15 shows the worthless lifestyle. I'm going to read it. Verse 13 through 15, I think that is a very interesting text. It says, their authority is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. And 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. By reading this passage, three verses, it seems like to me that sin is like a fully loaded SUV. a very expensive SUV. It has everything. Even you don't have to put your hands on the handle. Just say, let's go to Seattle. Wow. It's coming. When it comes to us, everything is on the move. Our minds, hearts, and words and actions begin working together to one direction, the path of destruction. Verse 16, the path of ruin and misery. That's how sin does. It's so crazy. This is not the end of the story. Not only sin leads you and me to the path of ruin and misery, not only sin separates you and me from the presence of God and destroying our life, but sin brings us to the judgment of God. The wrath of God upon us. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 18. It's coming. In our text, Paul says this exactly the same thing. He says, the whole world may be held accountable to God. You have to explain to God. In other words, God is waiting for your answer. The whole world is convicted before God, and the world is subjected to God's judgment. Therefore, there is no excuse. There will be no second plea or appeal in this case. That's what Paul says, verse 19. Every mouth may be stopped. Isn't that scary? Basically saying that before God, you are sinners. You don't have anything to say. Just be quiet. Truly, sin is devastating. It's devastating. Then a question arises in our mind. What shall we do? Since Paul says every mouth may be stopped, that means we just wait until God finally judges our sins. We just wait for that? Or shall we just keep going toward the path of destruction or keep walking to the path of misery? What shall we do? Now I'm going to describe something. While I was reading all the description of sin from this passage that Paul says in our text today, I began thinking of an image, one shot image of a man slowly plunging into a thick and deep swamp. I couldn't find a picture, so I found this swamp. There is no other way out. But only sinking into the deep swamp, you can help yourself. The man is desperately in need of a savior. Someone has to come and save my life. But no one is listening. No one is able to save from this sinful swamp. What Paul wants to tell us from his text is that the condition of sin is like this, exactly like this. Once you get into it, it's impossible. Because of our sin, we are literally plunging into deep, deep swamp, sinking into the swamp. And because of that, we desperately in need of the Savior. Someone please help me. I can't do anything. Then Paul talks about God's rescue plan in verses 21 and 22. He talks about the righteousness of God. Through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true Savior of our life, who is the righteousness, only the righteousness of God, delivering you and me from this horrible, sinful swamp. That no one can help us. The most amazing thing about God's rescue plan is not just only the righteousness of God. God says we don't need anything, but only one thing, faith in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. The Apostle Paul is so sure about this in verse 24. He says, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The scripture boldly testifies that Jesus is the one, only one who can save you and me from our sins. We don't need anything but faith. When our life is in immediate danger, we call 911, right? If you call 911 just out of fun, you'll be in big trouble, kids. When people call 911, they do not expect anything but hope. Somebody coming to save me, or trust. Someone is coming to rescue me for their lives. Just hope and trust for their lives. Now, sin brings pain, disorder, and spiritual diseases, and death, and chaos in our lives. Messes up everything. Then we are in immediate danger of death because of our sin. Now here Jesus comes as the Savior, comes to save us, save our lives. Based on Romans 3:26, we need faith. As we trust 911 rescuers, nothing is required. When we call 911, please help us, someone is dying, heart attack, please come. The 911 people came, you asked them, why did you come here? I called 5 minutes ago, this is 6 minutes. Okay, he's suffering right now. Can I get your name? I'm going to report your name. We don't do that. Or, what do I need? Do I have to prove that I'm a good person? Or do I have to prove that I'm working so hard to save all the people? Okay, do you need some certification? We don't need anything. We just need faith. Okay, you are here. Please help me. Help my friend. Same thing. Nothing is required but faith. Trusting in God. Faith in Christ. Just simply believe that Jesus is your Savior. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to clean your sins to save your life. In our text, verse 26 says, He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in God. The life of a Christian is well described in a book, Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote that book. Now, the book begins with a man named Christian, we know that, and who lived in a city named City of Destruction. Now, his dangerous journey to the city of heaven to find out the eternal life. That's all about the book. Now, however, Christian, his journey was not easy at all from the beginning because of what he carried on his shoulder, his back, the baggage of sin. But however, when he reached the place of deliverance called the cross of Calvary, finally he experienced something happening. Amazing things are happening to him. His burden that he was not able to carry, his burden, all the burdens are losing from his shoulders. Yes, he gets free. Free from all burdens when he meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the place of deliverance. I think what a great moment is. What a great moment to watch happening. That all the burdens that he was not able to take off, all the burdens that he didn't understand why he has, all the baggage of sins he carries all the time are disappearing at the cross. That was happening. At the cross, Jesus is taking all the baggage of sin And he said, I'll die for you. He died on the cross for our sin. That is what Paul exactly said, verse 25 to our text. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of an atonement through the shedding of his blood. And later on he said, the sins are forgiven, the sin committed beforehand unpunished, everything before our Lord Jesus Christ, because of our faith, everything shall be forgiven. That is verse 25. God wants you, forgive you. God wants to forgive all our sins. I bought a 10-pound dumbbell this week. So I needed some exercise. And I thought, 10 pound? Maybe exactly. John, my son John told me, Daddy, you got 10 pound? That's nothing. So I brought this one because I needed some exercise. And I did something. Right after buying this one in the car, I did 5-6 of them. And I felt, oh my goodness, this is so heavy. Maybe 20 times, maybe then break 5 more, you know, then later on. Then I was not able to lift this up. It's so heavy. 10-pound dumbbell. No, you got to be kidding me. The sin is working exactly the same thing in our life. It comes with a small, tiny thing. But it will drag you down. It will give you a lot of heavy burden that you cannot walk. You can't start your faith at all. It will try to destroy you. Your relationship with your God, our God. Sin is killing you. The weight of sin surely will drag us. The weight of sin surely make us tired. The weight of sin will crush and destroy our life. As Paul described in his text today, sin brings nothing but no hope, no future, no righteousness, nothing. And it will give you spiritually so burned out. You feel that even I don't want to find anything. I'm here done. But you know what? God knows everything about us. When He looks at our sinful life that we are all struggling every day, like this little tiny dumbbell in our hearts drag us down every day. Now God knows our burden. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find a rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are we still missing the target? Sometimes. That's why we are so tired. I don't want to miss the target, but we're still missing the target. Are we still sinning every day? I am sure. Are we feel so tired of our baggage that we are carrying? Invisible, the baggage of sin. Feeling no hope, no future. We don't know what's going to happen. Feel desperate. Please, please, something help me. But nothing is happening. Nothing you can do. Then here is the answer. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. As He promises, He will give you rest. He will give you peace. He will give you shalom, that Satan hijacked from your life, God will give you. Don't go anywhere. Come to Jesus. Come to Him who died on the cross for our sins. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us about our reality, our real life under the sin. Would you please help us to fully understand your teaching from the scriptures? We cannot make everything perfect, but if we have you, if we trust you, if we know that you will be with us, that's possible. Help us to have faith, to trust in God, to trust in Jesus Christ who died on the cross. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.